We're operating in difficult times, and there has been a technical hitch somewhere in the system over the internet. So we know in these days the internet's very busy, and our system here, for some reason, we don't know why, has crashed, and that means we were off air there for about 10 minutes. You possibly did get the opening prayer. You maybe got part of the opening hymn, but we want to bring that opening hymn to you again. It's an important hymn for tonight, as it has the gospel invitation, the word come in it, and we're going to listen to it now, 222, Come Ye Sinners Poor and Needy.
Yeah.
Well, we trust that you've been able to join us again, whether you're listening through sermon audio or on Facebook. We had a technical glitch there at the start, the system crashed, but hopefully we are up and running again. At the very start, I had a little word of prayer, and we're now going to have the main prayer this evening as we commit our way unto the Lord. We are thankful for the means of broadcasting these services on the Lord's Day. We want to acknowledge the goodness of God in this media. 2,800 views last month on sermon audio from 22 different countries, and then many more besides on Facebook. So wherever you're from, wherever you're tuning in from, welcome in the Savior's name. Let's bow in prayer our text through this COVID-19 period of time is the text here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And we pray on the basis of this every day for an intervention of God. Let us all pray. Almighty God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, in the worthy name of thy dear Son, we approach unto the throne of heavenly grace. We thank thee that we can still come and preach from this pulpit, and we thank thee that the word of God is still being broadcast over the internet. We thank thee, Lord, for the facility of sermon audio and of Facebook, and for the congregation gathering in with us tonight. Some of them, Lord, from here in Northern Ireland, our own congregation especially, and then we think of those that are listening in from various parts. It is our prayer that we will have a real conscious sense of the presence of God this evening. You gave help this morning. We acknowledge that. The presence of God was known. The word of the Lord was proclaimed. It was received. We trust acted upon it. And Lord, tonight we pray for the same, that Almighty God will come among us, that his presence will be known, that the Almighty will overshadow all that goes on, the songs that are going out, prayer that is offered, the reading and the preaching of your word. Lord, put your seal upon this time together. May it please God to speak to those that are listening in a very powerful way. There are those who are not saved, and Lord, they need Christ. We pray for the opening of the heart. We pray for an understanding to be given to them of the things of God. We pray that you'll bring them to that place of humility and reverence before God, where they acknowledge their need of Christ and turn to him in repentance. We pray for the work of God through the world. We were remembering some of our missionaries abroad in those places where they're shut in and very much isolated. We remember also those in Spain, our various workers there, as they continue to maintain some kind of a ministry like ourselves, preaching the word over the internet. Bless the effort that is made there. And Father, we pray that thou wilt visit this land in mercy, that thou wilt show thyself as a God of grace and love and kindness. Intervene with power as we humble ourselves and turn from our sin. Lord, hear in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive us for our sin and bring healing to the land, to the nation, to the hearts of men and women. Hear this, our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to the announcements, and first of all, I want to bid you welcome under new circumstances as we broadcast live over the internet, on Facebook, and on sermon audio. We remind you that on Tuesday night, there is the Youth Challenge link up at 7 o'clock, and so the children are able to join us on Facebook. Thursday night, the midweek service will be here to study the scriptures together and have our time of prayer as a congregation. Then on Friday evening, 7 o'clock, FPC Kids will be broadcast to the children of our land. And then at 8 o'clock for the members of our own youth fellowship, gathering together for fellowship and Bible study by Zoom. Do remember, in the will of God, next Sabbath day, Sunday school being broadcast at 11, Bible class at the same time, and our services 12 noon and 7 p.m. Next weekend is Easter. We will not be able to have the usual Easter services nor the Easter convention down at the Martyrs, the very first time in the history of our denomination. That is what COVID-19 is doing to church services in these days. But we know that God is over all. We know that He is in control and that He has a purpose in all that is happening. We acknowledge missionary gifts that have come in. We want to remind you that we're here to help the elderly and the vulnerable, the sick and those in need. And we want to encourage you all that we can, and we want to do that by phone calls, running an errand for you, if needs be, to the grocery store or for medication. We want to pray for you, and we are praying for you this time, and help with anything else. Here's the contact details. Do not hesitate to ring us if you need us. Do remember to send in your tithes and your offerings, your building fund, and for those other aspects of the ministry that we support, Let the Bible Speak, our Christian school, the missionary covenants of various kinds. And you can do it in the methods that we have outlined to you. Thinking of prayer requests, and of course on Thursday night at the midweek service, we will be showing slides and adding to them where necessary. But we're asking you at home to pray for the intervention of God according to the text that is very much before us in 2 Chronicles 7. I want you to remember all the broadcasts going out on a weekly basis. I want you to remember the frontline services. We have our nurses listed there for you to remember, and our doctors connected to the congregation. And then we think of our paramedics, the radiographers, and the care workers. We're adding Janice's name there, Janice in Glasgow, and his daughter to the list, very much in the forefront of the battle these days. Thinking also of the hospital staff, the Blair family, quite a few of them, as you see from this slide, are up there in the local hospital getting wards ready for the crisis that is coming. And so they're exposed to more danger than normal. And young Luke McKinley is volunteering himself, serving up in the hospitals likewise. And he is also in a vulnerable position. We want you to remember him in prayer. The sick of the congregation, those connected to us, the people that are infected with COVID-19, the messages that we're putting out every day, please remember them. We believe that hearts are being reached and that God's voice will be heard by those that need to hear, including ourselves. So remember the sick of the congregation and be much in prayer for them in these days. The missionaries and the churches across the world, where we have an interest and where we have men and women serving Christ, and then the little broadcast that is going out for the children by the mission board. Now, these are all the announcements that we need to leave with you. I think by now you're familiar with what's happening. We're going to have another hymn, and it's a lovely old gospel hymn, 215. And you're going to listen to it. It's a pre-recording again. 215 years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Listen to the words, and if you like, sing with the congregation.
Oh,
are thankful to God for that lovely singing, and we trust that that has been a blessing to you. One other name to add to the list for prayer, and that is Samuel Stevenson. Samuel, also from our own congregation here, works in the hospitals, and he will be open to all the dangers that those in hospitals now are facing, and we would ask you to pray, please, for him also. Now we're turning in the Word of God to the first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, and the chapter 6 for our Bible reading. It's very possible that you have guessed where we're going in this message. We announced that we wanted to speak on the family that had to self-isolate for over a year. And this is the very family that we're going to read about now in God's Word. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the face of the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Ending the reading at the opening verse of chapter 7. Shall we have a moment's prayer, please? Loving Father, thou hast been with us. Despite the little technical difficulties that we ran into this evening, Lord, thou art here. And there is a congregation with us, and there are people enabled to listen to your word tonight. O God, shut us in with thyself and do us good. We hear the wind raging outside. Oh Lord, the storm is rising. And it's certainly, in the metaphoric sense, rising in the nation. But Father, we pray that thou wilt stand up and still the storm, and that thou wilt bring peace to our hearts in the midst of it all. As we come to your word, we need spiritual strength. We need physical strength. Indeed, we need the power of God resting upon the preaching of your word. And so we cry, as often we do, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, and fall afresh upon those that listen to the gospel tonight. Hear this, our prayer, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Self-isolation is not always an easy thing. And I can speak personally tonight as a father, as a grandfather, and as a pastor. The many people that we are in contact with from week to week, we are no longer in contact with. Now, some people have told me that it has made little difference to their lifestyle, and they are quite happy. And that is people who are maybe living alone or able to cope with isolation for much of their lives. However, for the greater percentage of those whose daily routine brings us into contact with people, family, friends, colleagues, church members, and so on and so forth, it is difficult. Some people, more than others, will struggle with these circumstances, and all the more as these days roll on. And there will be some mental health issues, we are told. Now is the time for God's people to prove the Lord, and to prove him in the wonder of his presence. No matter who we are isolated from, God is always there. We want to prove that every day. The God who has said to his people, given the guarantee, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we want to prove the Lord in the wonder of his grace. It is grace that is going to carry us through this situation that we find ourselves in the nation. Such days give us greater opportunities to be with God, to go into the closet, as Jesus speaks about in Matthew 6, and shut the door and get alone with our Heavenly Father, to be able to pray more in these days, to study the Scriptures more and be with the Lord in such a way, and to do all the good that we can to other people, with our phone calls, with our emails, with our texts, with the little videos that are going out, or whatever practical help that we can give to others at this time. I thought about those in Scripture who had to self-isolate for various reasons. Rahab, as the army of Israel marched upon the city of Jericho. You remember the instructions given to Rahab by the spies that she had hidden in her home. Stay in your house. Bring your family into your house. If you stay there, you will be perfectly safe. And so Rahab and her household had to self-isolate for that period of time. David, in the cave of Adullam, when he was hounded and hunted by King Saul, he had to go to a place and remove himself from the danger. Elijah, at the brook Cherith, in famine days, when the judgment of God was upon the nation and his life was in danger, the Lord said, Elijah, I want you to hide yourself there at the brook Cherith. And we remember how the Lord wonderfully provided for his child at that time. And then we have Noah, who self-isolated with his family for over a year. Just by the way, not for 40 days and 40 nights. That was the period of time that the rain was upon the earth. We've seen little messages going out and little pictures of the ark with that message being given that Noah had to self-isolate for 40 days. It was much, much longer, a year and 10 days, in fact, that he was shut up in the ark with all the animals. Now, no doubt, he was extremely busy. He had a work to do every day. But remember the situation that he's in. No doors. Well, there was one door, but that door could not be opened. God had shut the door. No windows except that one window that was at the top of the ark. And no contact with the outside world. In fact, in a relatively short period of time, in a matter of a few days at the beginning of the flood, the whole population of the entire world was wiped out. And so there was nobody even to be in contact out there as far as Noah and his family were concerned. It's only now, with the coronavirus pandemic sweeping across the world and the nations of the world, and the nations going into lockdown conditions, that I've actually been brought to consider Noah in his isolation for all that period of time. It must have been a very trying and difficult time on a human level for him and for his family. Now we've seen the humorous pictures these days of those who have had to self-isolate with their family. I'm not sure what the name of the lady was. In fact, I think I saw at least two different names being used. But there is a picture of a lady who looks about 90 and she says, just choose a name. My name is Maggie and I am 31 and I'm self-isolating with my children. And I think on the little text it was, I have been homeschooling for 4 hours and now this is how she looks. She looks about 90. It's probably good to maintain a sense of humor in the midst of these difficult days. Noah was called by God to build an ark for the safety of his family and himself. God was coming in sure and swift judgment. We read in the Word of God, and we read these words tonight, that wickedness was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And here is what God said to Noah. The end of all flesh is come before me. I will destroy them with the earth. And my friends, listen to this. Everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, we have not reached this place at all by any stretch of the imagination. Never in the world's history of the pandemics that have swept across this earth, nor in this present time of great difficulty through the earth, never have we reached that place where the whole world was destroyed or is going to be destroyed by something like a pandemic. But my friends, God has a judgment that is looming on the horizon, a judgment that is going to affect all the world of the unconverted. God has decreed that this world will be judged and destroyed, not by a catastrophic flood. That's not going to happen again. God promised that he would never destroy the whole world again by a flood, but by flaming fire. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming in flaming fire, the apostle said when he wrote to the Thessalonian church, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now God had a place of refuge for Noah and his family. There was a divine plan. There are some phrases to note. For one, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, chapter 6, verse 8. And then that little line that follows in the next verse, Noah walked with God. Noah found grace. It's a marvelous thing when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God, Noah found saving grace. That grace that saved his precious soul and brought him into a state of salvation. And then he had grace to walk with God. You know, the reality of saving grace is seen in the fact that a man walks with God thereafter. And Noah walked with God in this difficult generation. And we can learn from this history. And there are some things that I want to set before you tonight in this gospel service that are important to learn. First of all, I want you to see the preparation of Noah. Chapter 6 and verse 14. God said to his child, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." I want you to see that Noah and his family had to make preparation for the coming judgment. They could not sit back and do nothing. If they did not prepare, they would die, they would perish in the overthrow. And so for the sinner, under the just sentence of divine wrath and judgment, preparation needs to be made for the coming destruction. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Now, this was something that Noah himself had to do. Make thee. He could not contract it out to somebody else. That would not do. Nobody else could do this for Noah. He had to do it for himself. And my friends, you must attend to your salvation personally. Nobody can do it for you. No matter how godly your family members might be, maybe you've got a mother or a father or some relative in the home, and they are a Christian and they are a very godly person, they cannot make the preparation for you. You've got to do it for yourself. You personally need to make ready. The whole scheme and plan of this ark, this salvation vessel, was given to Noah. The ark was as long as a 3-story building is high, about 450 feet or 150 meters. Its width was 75 feet or 25 meters and its height 45 feet or 15 meters. The whole scheme of God's redemptive plan in Christ was sovereignly worked out by God. As the hymn writer said, it was God who himself had devised the plan, in that beautiful hymn in our hymn book 300. Come with me to the great eternity past, if we can speak in such terms. There's no past, there's no present, there's no future as far as time is concerned in the great eternity of God. Well, there's no time there. But for us to try and understand, we will travel in our minds to eternity past, before the hills in order stood or earth received its frame, before this universe was called into existence. We're traveling back into eternity past, and there we see the Godhead in counsel, the one with the other, knowing the creation of the heavens and the earth, knowing what would happen to mankind and the great fall that would take place, how that Adam and Eve would fall from that original state of righteousness. Here we have the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are sitting in counsel, the one with the other, And my friends, do you know what they're planning? They are planning the redemption of man. They are planning a whole scheme of salvation whereby man who has fallen into sin might be reconciled to God and saved by grace. And it is as if we hear the Father say, "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" And the Lord Jesus Christ, that willing volunteer, he says, "Here am I, send me." And my friends, God had a plan to bring sinful men back unto himself, and that plan was Christ. Go to the cross. Come with me, stand in the shadow of Calvary. View the blessed Lord Jesus there upon that center tree. He's dying. He's bleeding. He's in agony. He is now making his soul an offering for sin. He is now bearing away the sins of the world. Our sins, my sin, your sin, being laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung there in that time of great agony upon the cross of Calvary. My friends, this is God's plan. This is God's scheme of salvation. This is the means whereby men can be reconciled to God. Here indeed is the very ark of refuge, the ark of safety in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the ark was about the size of the Titanic. It was big enough to do the job. And praise God, what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary is big enough to do the job. It's sufficient, completely sufficient for all mankind. My dear friends, there's room at the cross for you. Salvation is for the whosoever will. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know there's room for you in the ark of Almighty God. The ark was to be covered within and without with pitch. This waterproofed the wood and ensured that it would last for a very long time. In salvation, the children of God are fully covered, not with pitch, but with the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that cleanses our sins away and washes us and makes us white in the sight of God. And that pure, spotless robe of righteousness that is gifted to us and imputed to us in the redemptive purpose of God, so that we might have a standing with God. Oh, my dear friends, understand this. There is a covering for you, a covering that will last for a long time, yes, for eternity. This ark must be made, for there was no salvation without it. And my friends, there's no salvation without Christ. Apart from him, you will be destroyed and you will be lost forever. But you must prepare. You must get ready. And so as we think of the preparation of Noah, that which Noah had to do, my friends, there's preparation for you. You need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. You need to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to come to know the cleansing of the blood of the Savior. You need to be covered in his righteousness so that you are prepared for the great eternity of God and will be perfectly safe on that great day. Secondly, there is the invitation of God. And we have it here in the opening verse of chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come." That's a very important word, a very precious word. "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Here indeed is the gospel invitation. Come into the ark. You will notice that God did not say go into the ark, but he said come, indicating very clearly that the presence of God was already in the ark, and he's bidding Noah and his family to come unto him. Jesus is still saying to poor sinners who were under the wrath of God, facing divine judgment and justice, rushing headlong into eternal destruction, he's still saying, come, whoever you are, whatever you have done, doesn't matter what your past might have been, Jesus is saying, come. It's the invitation. There's a beautiful verse way back in the heart of the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, that has this word included. Come. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is the gospel invitation. Come. The Lord wants to reason with you tonight. He wants you to come that you might be cleansed from your sin. And then we have that wonderful text of scripture in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Three times over, here's the gospel invitation. You are to come. Who is to come? The man that is thirsty. If you have no thirst in your heart, the invitation is not for you. You wouldn't want to hear that kind of invitation. But my friends, the moment that God begins to awaken you in grace, the moment that God begins to stir your heart, the moment that God brings concern to your soul and conviction to your heart, and you begin to have that thirst within, that thirst for God, that thirst for salvation, that thirst for sins forgiven, then you can hear this word as the Lord Jesus says, come, O thirsty ones, come, come to Jesus. And praise God, it is without money, it is without price, for the salvation of God is absolutely free. God Almighty has already purchased that salvation in and through the blood of his own dear Son. And then when we come into the New Testament, you remember the word of Christ in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there a man, and you have begun to feel the burden of your sin, and you are weighed down with that sin, you are heavy laden by that sin, the Lord is saying, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Oh, will you not come? And then there's another come in Luke chapter 14 and verse 17. There are a number of comes like this in the Gospels, telling a similar story, but this one summarizes them all. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in this story that he related when he was here in the flesh upon the earth, he summarizes again the whole center of the gospel invitation and the word come, and he says, come, for all things are now ready. Nothing more to do. Nothing that we could dare to do or to add to that which has been done. For Jesus has paid it all. He has paid eternal redemption for us. He has been to the cross. He has sacrificed himself for our sin. And all you need to do is to come, for everything that you need has been provided in Christ. Here is the invitation of God. Come into the ark, Christ Jesus. And then in the third place, we have the destruction of the world. Now let me read you verse 11 and verse 12 of chapter 7. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Run your eye down to verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth,
both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was shut, that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. We ought to tremble when you read words like this, because what we're reading, my friend, actually happened. This is real history. Here is the destruction of the whole world. The waters are brought upon the earth. The great deluge of destruction comes exactly as God had warned. The torrents of rain began to fall. Imagine that. There had never been rain before, it is understood. The earth was watered by the dew, a heavy dew that fell upon the earth, and the rivers that flowed throughout. So rain had never fallen from the skies. And if it had, certainly not rain of this nature. The windows of heaven were opened. We sometimes speak, when there's a great deluge of rain, about the opening of the heavens. We don't know so much about it. In this country, the mighty, mighty deluge, we know about rain. You can't live in Northern Ireland or in the island of Ireland without knowing about rain. Sometimes it just rains incessantly. It's like the Irish woman that was writing to her son, if you remember that letter. It's kind of humorous, all the things that she wrote to her son, but one of them was, it only rained twice last week. First for 3 days, and then for four. So in other words, it rained all the week through. And sometimes that's the way it is here in Northern Ireland. But it's usually just a steady rain. It's not the kind of deluge that we see in some other countries, where we have the monsoons, where we have the heavy rainy seasons. We have seen it in other countries, where the heavens just opened, and that deluge came down so much in quantity and powerfully that the roads began to flow like rivers. Well, it was much more than that when here in Bible times the windows of the heaven were opened. This is when the heavens containing the great waters that were above the firmament, that Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7 speaks about, opened up. These waters formed the huge blanket of water in the upper part of the earth's atmosphere since creation. And that great mass of ocean up there opened up and began to pour itself upon the earth. Furthermore, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up. Waters came up from under the earth. Those huge waters of the underground oceans came flooding upwards. There was a geographical catastrophe happening here. And for 40 days and 40 nights it was so. The rains poured themselves upon this world. 40 is the number of testing and trial. And it certainly was for Noah when he was in the ark for that period of time, that initial period, when the waters were broken up, or came up from the ground that was broken up and came down from the sky. My dear friends, we are reminded here about the destruction of the world. As we said earlier, not by a flood that is going to come upon the earth and destroy the inhabitants of the world again. God said, and he gave the rainbow in the sky as a token or a covenant of the promise, that he would not destroy the world in that fashion again, in such a fashion again. But there is coming a day when the world will be destroyed, and the judgment of God, the wrath of God, will be poured out without measure upon this old world. It's going to come. And then I want you to see, fourthly, the preservation of a family. In verse 23, we read those words, how that Noah, just at the end of the text, Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the opening line of verse 8, God remembered Noah. Noah and his family were wonderfully and miraculously sheltered from divine wrath. We are told in verse 16 that the Lord shut him in. Noah did not have to shut the door. In fact, some people say that Noah couldn't have shut the door. He knew what was coming. He could look out there, perhaps into society around him. People that he knew, acquaintances that he had for many, many years. He knew that the destruction was coming. How difficult it would have been for Noah to shut the door. But my friends, God shut the door. And he shut it upon that old world. And I want you to know that it's never our job to shut the door on people. It is our job through the preaching of the gospel to keep the door of salvation and opportunity opened until the sovereign God and the judge of all the earth decrees the door to be shut. And that door can be shut in time when the Spirit of God ceases to strive with a man. You be very careful what you do with the gospel. You be very careful what you do with the Spirit of God who works in your heart and strives in your soul and brings you to see your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even in time, the door might be shut upon you as the Spirit of God withdraws from you because you heed not the gospel and turn not to Christ. Be very careful what you do with the Savior in your rejection of him. Lest there come that moment when the door in this world is shut against you, never to be opened against you or for you again. But my friends, in the great eternity, the door is going to be shut. It's going to be locked and locked forevermore. The ark was salvation for Noah, but condemnation for the world. There were no second chances given to those who were on the outside. When the 120 years were over, those were the gospel days. Those were the days of the opportunity. God's Spirit stopped striving with men. And then there comes this moment. God shuts the door, and it's shut forever. For weeks the door was opened. I can't say for sure for how many weeks. But there was the ark. It stood with its vast door wide open. And Noah preached for all those years to the old world. And he warned them about the coming judgment. He told them about the flood that would destroy the world. He presented to them the message of the gospel, that in this ark there was safety and you must take refuge in it. All that passed within that portal into the ark would be preserved from the coming destruction. Outside the door was death. Inside was life. And we're told here Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Praise God, there was salvation for Noah. And hallelujah, there was salvation for the family of Noah. And may that be written of your family and of mine as we think of the preservation of a family. Oh, may it be your family. May it be my family. May we all be accounted for in the ark of God, before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord comes and the judgment of God overtakes this world again. My friends, strive to get your family into the ark. Make sure they're all accounted for in the grace of God. You pray for them. You witness to them. You compel them to Christ by every means possible. Get them into the ark if you do nothing else. If you take nobody else with you to heaven, my dear friends, take your family to glory. Make sure they're in the ark of God and preserved. I have one final point, and that is the application for sinners today. Just for a moment, I'm going to remind you of the words of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. And as I do, and we're thinking here of the application, I think God is saying, remember Noah, remember these days, over 4,000 years before the coming of Christ into the world. Remember what happened, referring to the last days prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the great judgment day. Our Savior preached a sermon where he used Noah as an illustration. And these are the words that I'm going to read. Just three verses in Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus draws a very clear parallel between the old world and what happened in Noah's day to the new time, this new dispensation, when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. For one thing, and we've mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, life was going on as normal. There was nothing out of the ordinary as far as normal existence was concerned. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. I think we can say the birds were singing in the trees. The lambs were skipping in the fields. The flowers were blossoming in the pastures. Life was good. Life was pleasant. Life was enjoyable. Life was full of pleasure and undoubtedly full of sin. Full of sin back in Noah's day. Just like today. Yes, Noah had preached. Noah had warned with passion. Noah had pleaded with the old world. The ark stood as a monument of God's grace and salvation. The door was open wide for men to go in. Opportunities were given to the old world in abundance, even as we read in chapter 7 and verse 10. Another 7 days were given. Another 7 days whereby a man could enter into the ark. But then came that moment that the door was shut forever. It wasn't long before the sky darkened with clouds. And this geographical catastrophe took place with the great earthquakes and the convulsions and the torrents of water pouring onto the earth. And sinners swept away in the flood of divine wrath. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to that people that they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to tell you this as we close our service. Jesus Christ wants to apply the gospel to your heart. He wants you to learn from Noah's day. He wants you to see what you must do, my friend. How that you must flee to the ark. How you must enter into the door. The one door. The only door. The door that is Christ. That is Christ Jesus himself. In your days of isolation and social distancing, may God speak to your heart. I think it's true to say you have more time now to think than ever. More time now to sit down and think about serious things than ever. May you come to Christ. May you believe the gospel. May you enter the door and get into the ark, Christ Jesus. And my friend, may you do it tonight. And if we can be of help, we are here. Just a phone call away. But you don't need me. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody else. You need Christ. And just where you are, maybe in your home, wherever it is, you can get down on your knees before God right now. And you can pray the sinner's prayer. And you can say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I realize, Lord, that I have come short of your glory. I sin against God every day, and Lord, my sin is condemning me, and my sin has taken me to hell. But Lord, I'm glad that a door has been opened. An ark has been prepared where I might be safe. And Lord, this very night, I'm coming to Christ. And by faith, I'm entering through the door. Oh God, I repent of my sin. And just now, I believe the gospel. And I take Christ to be my Savior. Cleanse me and forgive me and wash me from my sin. Lord, do it now for Jesus' sake. And my friend, if you pray a prayer like that and you mean it in your heart, God will save you. Oh, that you might turn to him now. Get into Christ. He's the ark of salvation for you. Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Father, we just commit this whole service to thee now. We've read your word, we've listened to it. We've drawn the parallels between Noah's time. We've seen the lessons that God is teaching us here in his word. Apply the gospel now to the conscience. Bring sinners to Christ. May they enter through the door, the one door and the only one. May they get inside and know safety and security and salvation forevermore. Praise God in Christ. We are safe from the coming judgment. In Christ we will not be destroyed. In Christ the fires of eternal hell will never touch us, because we are safe and secure in him. Speak to hearts now as this service ends and the voice of the preacher is silent. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have a closing hymn for you to listen to as the meeting finishes tonight. It's 324. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, Kenyu was nothing to me. As this hymn progresses, you see how the man who wrote it speaks of the eyes being opened and coming to an understanding of who Christ, our righteousness, really is. And my friends, I pray that God will open your heart and you'll come to understand who Christ is, and that the grace of God will awaken you and bring you savingly unto him. 324.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that sinners might come to know Jehovah said, can you, the Lord our righteousness. May the free grace of God awaken them. May they tremble to die. We pray that they will come with all their guilt and with all their sin and receive Christ as Savior. May they come, for all things are now ready. Hear this, our prayer. Dismiss us in thy fear, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.